What's your approach to first-line therapy in the metastatic setting for non-smokers and, let's say, somebody with a 15-pack year history that quit 30 years ago?
So for a never-smoker, and in the context of us having phase 3 data with bevacizumab, I still am really moved by the experience in the TRIBUTE study, where we looked at, in a prospective subgroup analysis, 64 never-smokers who got erlotinib with chemo and 41 never-smokers who got placebo with chemo. And we saw nearly a 2.5-fold difference in median survival. 10 months for the control group, so not really different than that for the whole study. It's not as if they underperformed. That was right on the median survival for the whole study. And 22.5 months for the group that got the erlotinib with the chemo. Even in the most ambitious phase 2 study from a single institution, I don't think we've ever seen, you know, nearly a 2-year median survival in metastatic lung cancer in untreated patients. So that, and having had a good experience with that regimen now in my patients, I believe that that is clearly a very effective treatment for the majority of these individuals. They're not cured. We don't want to lose sight of, you know, the fact that we have a tremendous amount of work to do, but it is a palpable step forward in their therapy.
So specifically, how would you integrate the chemotherapy and their erlotinib in terms of timing?
Well, in the metastatic setting, I tend to start the chemotherapy with the erlotinib. I try to give it the same way we give it in TRIBUTE, because in the lack of any clear biologic basis otherwise, that's where we got our best clinical result. I think that in that type of population where you have a high frequency of EGFR mutations, when you use erlotinib in that setting, you tend to induce apoptosis in the tumor cells, and therefore you may not have a inhibitory or negative interaction between the chemotherapy and the erlotinib. And that's actually been shown in cell lines